A pair of NPR reporters are on the road this month, crossing the country, talking with people about the government. Jeff Brady started his journey in Oregon. Yesterday, he sent us a report from Rock Springs, Wyoming. Andrea Seabrook began in South Carolina, and she's made it all the way to South Dakota. There, she found that living the rural life doesn't mean getting away from the long arm of the government.
I pulled off on the side of a sleepy gravel road in Beersford, South Dakota, where there's a wide, low hog barn. Rick Moran just sold his pigs for slaughter and gets a new bunch next week. So he stands in the hog lot supervising his son, Jalen, who's driving a small tractor called a skid loader, scraping pig manure from the floor.
Basically, this is his first time doing it, and I told him three things you can't hit is my two hog feeders and the hog water. Otherwise, everything else is cement. He's pretty much indestructible, so.
Jalen is 12 years old, too young for a driver's license, but, says his dad, the perfect age to learn to drive a tractor. In their rural lifestyle, Moren's kids have space to run and holler. They drive four-wheelers and build water bottle rockets, but they also work. Moran says, especially in the hog barns and during hay baling time.
If you're tall enough to see over the steering wheel, you can drive out in the alfalfa field, and that's how everybody learned out here. So yeah, that's one of the advantages out here, you know. You get 40 acres to drive around, and versus in the city, I don't know how you guys learn how to drive. And it probably shows.
Moran says he feels lucky every day being out here, and it is gorgeous. Open turquoise skies, bright yellow sunflowers stick up over the grasses, and chimney swifts swoop and dart chasing insects. But if you think getting away to this rural life means getting away from the government, think again. Moran has a long list of ways the government is involved in his life, from what crops he plants and how in order to get subsidies, to how he manages wetlands and wildlife on his land. And especially, Moran says, with these hog lots.
We have to follow setbacks, rules, guidelines. You know, we need to have waste management plans. You just don't build something anymore. You have to go through all the rules and regulations. So the government is involved in every asset that I have out here.
Up north, outside Desmet, South Dakota, some other kids are learning to drive.
Now, have you guys driven horses before? Okay, well, I'm going to explain a couple quick things about driving the wagon, and then we'll turn it over to you, and you guys are going to take us right back to the barn, okay?
This is the Ingalls homestead, the land that Laura Ingalls Wilder's family, of Little House on the Prairie fame, finally settled on in the 1880s. It is breathtaking. Waving grasses and wildflowers to the horizon, a patch of low-lying wetlands called the Big Slough, where Laura's dad mowed hay for his horses, and five of the original cottonwood trees the Ingalls family planted as a windbreak 120-some years ago. 17-year-old Ann Poppin is teaching these city kids how to drive the covered wagon. She loves her job, but she says sometimes she's afraid the tourists don't really understand pioneer life. They romanticize it.
I guess being a rural person and living on a farm, you kind of have a better understanding of what it's like to actually farm, and so you can relate to these people that, you know, had to come out here and travel so many miles and struggle and struggle and struggle for hours on end just to get a crop in, and then watch it, you know, burn up in the heat with no rain, or, you know, watch grasshoppers devour it.
Poppin's family farm is about 12 miles from here, 1,000 acres of crops and 120 head of cattle, and she loves it. But she says sometimes the government seems to respond to the ideas that city people have about rural farming life rather than what the farmers themselves need, like with regulations on how many animals can be kept in a feedlot, for instance.
Sometimes people in cities don't understand that, well, you know, I like my beef and I like my pork, but, you know, I don't like to see animals like that, you know. Well, that's how it works, you know. It's just, you know, sometimes the urban people and the government don't agree with the rural people.
And Poppin says, even for pioneer Charles Ingalls, Laura's dad, government was part of life. Though he took his family west, looking for an independent rural life, he had to follow certain rules. The Ingalls had to live on this land for 5 years, till and sow at least 10 acres every season, and plant the required number of trees for that windbreak. Only then was this 160-acre homestead in Dakota Territory awarded to them by the government. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, South Dakota.